Kenneth Wolfgang saying, Welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press the number one, join the conversation. Brother Timothy Groover is right now in Israel and is thanking you for your prayers as he has made it safely into the land of Israel, the Holy Land. And we just want you to know that he made it safely. He sent us an email and wishes to start off the program with that and then some messages that he has already pre-recorded and wishes to play today. So first off, reminding you of the scripture that he always uses, Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4, where the word of the king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what doest thou? Found in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. And here is the message that he sent us via email for you to listen to, and then we'll get into the messages tonight.
Hello there, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Brother Tim Groover here saying from the land of Israel, quote, God bless you and yours, quote, please be in prayer as the gospel of Yeshua the Messiah / the word of God continues to go forth here in the land of Israel, not just through me, but also the other members of the body of Christ here in the land of Israel. I pray that you also continue to receive much blessing from the messages here of the word of the King. I just went, as the Spirit of God led, to the Aliyah Law Office here in Tel Aviv today. I found out that just to meet with them at the law office one time and discuss my Aliyah endeavors will cost me going on / almost $275. Now, praise be to God, it looks like the Lord is raising up believers at this one congregation here in the land to take up an offering and assist with those expenses. Let me tell you, life in Israel left paren, especially Tel Aviv right paren, is not cheap. On average, in order to cover all of my daily expenses with living here at this one hostel, I am having to withdraw around almost $100 almost on a daily / everyday basis. With what money I have coming in from back there in the States, combined with what bills I do still pay on a monthly basis, believe me when I tell you that if I don't get the ability to work here legally and make some extra money soon, it is all the more imperative that the Lord lays it on the heart of any of you listening who are able to give financially to the support of the work of the Lord and my daily expenses here in the land. Before I left the States, I worked with my mom left paren Judy right paren and father after the flesh left paren Joel right paren to get them set up with what is known as power of attorney. With them having power of attorney, they can take any checks that come in for me at their address, cash them, and then deposit the money into either my checking or savings account. As you know from listening to past editions of the Word of the King, there is a WhatsApp link on our site that Kenny will tell you about. However, I would just as soon you go ahead and as the Spirit of God leads, just write out a check and send it to my mom and dad at the following address, (2976 Honey Valley Road, Dallas Town, PA 17313, 2976 Honey Valley Road, Dallas Town, PA 17313, 2976 Honey Valley Road, Dallas Town, PA 17313. Please pray that the Lord gives me favor with one of the rabbis here in the land. It is necessary for Aliyah here in the land of Israel that a certified rabbi write one out a letter confirming them for Aliyah status here in the land of Israel. Lord willing, as soon as tomorrow I will contact this one rabbi that I had dealings with here in the land before. Rabbi Poston is his name. I will ask Mr. Poston about meeting me somewhere in Jerusalem for a cup of coffee or something so we can discuss my Aliyah endeavors even more. Start by praying that God gives me favor with Mr. Poston. Pray especially that Mr. Poston would come to know Elohim and his Messiah in spirit and truth. Pray the Lord gives me much wisdom in my dealings with Mr. Poston, any other rabbis, the Jews, and the people at the Aliyah Law Office. There is much wisdom required, especially for someone like myself. However, I believe the Lord showed me exactly what I am supposed to do - that includes what I am supposed to do and say if and when they tell me I must denounce Yeshua / Jesus in any way. You must remember that most Jews do not properly distinguish between Roman Catholicism and Biblical Christianity / faith in Jesus. I will just leave it at that for now. Pray, as surely as the Lord showed me what to say and what to do, I am sure the strategy will work just fine. Finally, please continue to pray for the Lord to provide me with my wife/helpmeet here in the land. Continue to pray for Orly Left-Paren or Dashley Right-Paren, as I may call her again as soon as tomorrow. Thanks again for your prayers and any financial support you may give as the Lord lays it on your heart. For those of you who are not as interested in giving via a check, but you would rather just donate via the PayPal account, Kenny will now inform you of how you can go to the PayPal account for me on our site and donate as the Spirit leads. Please, enjoy this evening's messages on the feasts of Sukkot and Yom Kippur Left-Paren Day of Atonement Right-Paren. God bless. Sincerely, Brother Timothy Gruber again. Any comments or questions you can forward to me via email at tuordofsaking@1611@hotmail.com.
All right, and he was saying there, he's talking about his aliyah, where he would be a resident there permanently in the land of Israel. So he's asking for prayer for that and a prayer for his helpmeet. And so let's keep that in prayer. And with that, also he asked me to give the PayPal information as to where you could give a donation if you wish to go by PayPal. And that's very simple. You go to our website, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, B-I-B-L-E-S, 4, F-O-R, the, T-H-E, blind, B-L-I-N-D, .org. Once you're on that website, click Sow the Seed Ministries. Once you've done that, you go down on that page and you will see a free will offering or love offering link. It's the same thing. You click on that, and it will take you to the PayPal, where you could donate using your credit card, or if you have a PayPal account, you can use your PayPal account to give your donation right there to Timothy Gruber to help him in the land of Israel. Now, what we're going to do is get Sister Ruthie here to give us an opening prayer, and then we're going to get into the messages tonight here on the Word of the King.
Dear Lord, we love and praise your name and continue to help Tim as he's trying to serve you in Israel, Lord, and help him find his wife if he wants to and your will in his life. Be with everyone else that has prayer issues, and we've got mail there, sweetheart. And I'm very sick myself with cellulitis of the abdominal wall. I'm seeing a surgeon tomorrow, so... keep me in prayer, and be with Emily. She's not feeling well tonight either. We have some personal issues too. All right. We love you so much, everyone. And God, we praise your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And so now let's get into his messages, the Feast of Sukkot and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, So we'll get into the messages tonight, and we hope everybody enjoys. Amen.
Hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber saying, Hallelujah, praise the Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is another edition of the Word of the King. To you who are Jewish and may be listening to this broadcast, I'll be in a recording of this broadcast. To you, I say, Hag Sameach, Happy Holy Day. This is the time of the year when the Jewish people celebrate the Feast of Sukkot, known as the Feast of Tabernacles. And I want to speak today on the Word of the King concerning the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Sukkot, and how this matter of the tabernacle relates to us as God's creatures, as descendants physically of that man Adam, and ultimately, according to God's will, for us to be quickened in the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, We know that if an Adam all died, even so Mashiach shall all be made alive. And this being made alive in Mashiach, Christ, Yeshua, Jesus, has much to do with God tabernacle. Yeah, it's not everything to do with God tabernacle among men. I would remind you that Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 says, for the word of the king is there is power, and you may say unto him, what doest thou? When we talk about the word of the king, we are talking about none other than the King James, A.D. 1611, Holy Bible, which God has preserved his words for us without error, incorruptible in the English language therein. I would like to now just give you an address, and just want to thank Brother Kenny Wolfgang, Holiness Bibles for the Blind, for allowing me to partake in their website ministry and giving me a number of pages thereon. Before I get started today, for the glory of God here on the Word of the King, I would just like to now have a word of prayer and pray once more that God would be glorified. And you all the more who already know what it means to have God's tabernacle among and even in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. For those of you who don't know what it means to have God tabernacling among, even within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you would come to know what that is all about, the reality within, and the result of this broadcast. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ, the Mashiach, I come before you, Lord God, and I just want to thank you for you, Lord God, as we will see from your word, have been faithful, dear Lord God, to humble yourself and tabernacle among sinful men, making those sinful men holy through the very blood, Kippur, atonement, provided by Mashiach, Yeshua. Lord God, again, especially for my dear listeners who are Jewish, I would remind them, Lord God, even as I give you thanks, dear God, for the remembrance, the memory of how the blood on the doorpost, Lord God, as you led Moses and our ancestors, Lord God, out of Egypt, it formed the cross. Oh, Lord God, may my Jewish listeners, dear God, think of that. And may my Gentile listeners, dear God, even stand in awe of you, Lord God, just how, dear God, you do all things decently and in order. You do everything with a purpose, Lord God. Even the way you told Moses to put that blood on the doorpost, it was with a purpose, because it's only through the shedding of blood. And that is the blood of a lamb without blemish and without spot that you, dear Lord God, can and will be faithful to cleanse sinners from all their sin and take up residence within them, even their bodies becoming a tabernacle, dwelling place, temple with you, the living God, your Holy Ghost. And I pray, dear God, now, Father, through this message, may you go forth drawing souls to the Son, Mashiach, Yeshua, the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, and may the Son go forth with power, being exalted, drawing all men unto himself, even as he'll be faithful to draw all men in light of the death which he died there on the cross. And, Lord God, may your Spirit, dear God, go forth convicting souls of sin, because they believe not on the Son, Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, and judgment, because the prince of this world, the devil, is judged, and all who do not receive Christ, Jesus, Messiah, by faith, will be judged with him and his angels in the lake of fire and of righteousness, because ultimately, dear God, by nature, no sinner has any righteousness whereby they can stand before you, Lord God, for we are told that all of our righteousnesses are as best filthy rags. So, Lord God, please go forth, work now, be glorified. In Jesus' name, I give you thanks. Amen. All right, open your King James Bible to Exodus 25, and let's just read verses 8 and 9. We're going to see right here the foundation of God's instructions to Moses and the children of Israel concerning this matter of the tabernacle. In Exodus 25, verse 8, I read, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Verse 9, according to all that I shew thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." Now you read down through there and you find, I'm not sure, dear listener, there was only one entrance into the tabernacle. It was ultimately, there's only one way into the eternal presence of God, whereby you can have for eternity access to the throne of grace with God as your Father. And that is through the door. The Lord Jesus Christ, for in St. John 10, even he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door." And he said in St. John 14, 6, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So, yes, there was only only one door to the tabernacle. And that's because, again, Yeshua, the Christ, Jesus, Mashiach, he is the door. According to St. John 14:6, St. John 10, Acts 4:12, Peter put it like this, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Mashiach, our Lord. Now, when I consider this matter of the tabernacle and how it relates, dear Christian, dear believer, in Yeshua, Mashiach, Jesus the Christ, turn it over to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul, writing under inspiration of God, to the Church of Corinth, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 5, writes, we know if our earthly house, talking now about our physical body, we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God and house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up with life. Verse 5. Now he that wrought us the selfsame thing as God, who also hath given unto us the earth of the Spirit. Now remember, Jesus, when he came, that tabernacle back there in the Old Testament that we just read about briefly there in the book of Exodus, chapter 25, was first and foremost a foreshadow of Jesus as God, Emmanuel, God with us, coming down and taking on human flesh, human body, yet fully God. St. John 1, verse 1 declares, for in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And you go down through there, verse 14, and the Word was made manifest in the flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We're told in the book of Colossians that it pleased God that in him, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, all fullness, and that of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, should dwell. You know, when you go back there to St. John chapter 1, it says there, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And again, when it says, and of his fullness have all we received, that fullness, again, is talking about the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, even as it pleased the Father, again, in the book of Colossians, that in him, Christ Jesus, Yeshua, Mashiach, all fullness should dwell. And then we're told in another point in Colossians, in him, Christ Jesus, Yeshua, Mashiach, well, all the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, bodily. And again, we're told in 1 John 5:7, speaking of the Godhead, and there are three that bear record of heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Beware of anybody, dear listener, who speaks down on the Trinity or what the Bible calls the Godhead. It is a Bible doctrine, and those who deny it are Antichrist, and of their father, the devil, be it Jew or Gentile. Anybody who denies the Godhead, as commonly known as the Trinity, is Antichrist, and of their father, the devil, according to the Word of God. So, Jesus came down, and the glory of the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, was contained in his human body. Ultimately, he came down in such a manner to provide himself a kippur, an atonement. Remember back then, in the laws that was established there with the tabernacle, there was the setting up of the priesthood. And we read about the establishing of the priesthood and the sacrificial system, along with the Ark of the Covenant, all being established from Exodus 26 through 31. Again, from Exodus chapter 26 through chapter 31, we read of the Ark of the Covenant, the establishing of the priesthood and the sacrificial system in connection with the tabernacle that we looked at, the foundation of it being set forth in Exodus 25. So even Jesus Christ, tabernacle, as God manifest in the flesh, among sinful men, the fullness of the Godhead, the body dwelling within him, he came to offer himself as high priest unto God, a sacrifice for sins. told in the law of God, the Torah, Leviticus 17, verse 11. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. God made it clear, dear listener, that he gave the blood upon the altar as an atonement for the soul. So Jesus Christ, God tabernacled alone, simple man, offered himself as a priest, high priest unto God. Read more about that there in the book of Hebrews. It talks about how in almost all things by the law, purged with blood, without the shedding of blood is no remission. And he gave himself as a sacrifice for sins and rose from the dead, the third day, for our justification. Romans 10, 9, 12 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he did all that, dear listener. As God manifest in the flesh, tabernacled among men, crucified, buried, risen from the dead, so that we, as sinners, would be redeemed, cleansed of all sin, made whiter than snow, and could know what it's like to have our body become the tabernacle of God. Hence, it is written, the Apostle Paul, right under inspiration of God here, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, keep in mind, your body goes in the grave, dear listener, but my body goes in the grave, it dissolves, the worms eat away at it. Oh, praise God, we have a building of God. We do believe on the Lord, Adonai, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And we are told in the book of Hebrews that Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But if you look here in the context, this building of God is spoken of, this house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Based on what we read, in verse 4, I would tell you as a clear reference to the new glorified physical body, the physical glorified body that comes at the resurrection of the dead for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because look at verse 4 carefully in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, but we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Yeah, we that are in the tabernacle, this physical flesh and blood body, we do groan, being burdened with the sin that still so doeth easily beset us. Read Romans 7, dear listener. I'm not going to turn there now, but if you want to understand what Paul's talking about, he talks about being burdened in this context of 2 Corinthians 5, 4. Turn to Romans 7, where he talks about that which he would, he does not, and that which he would not, and he does. Then he says, oh, who shall deliver me from this body of death? That's the kind of burdening that Paul's talking about here, under inspiration of God in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4. And if you got the Spirit of God in you, there's a war going on in you daily. Spirit warring against the flesh, sinful nature, warring against the Spirit of God. And it makes you groan. You're not groaning. You're not burdened with sinfulness of your flesh. You want to examine yourself and see whether you be in the faith, dear listener. Know you not, except Christ Jesus, Mashiach Yeshua be in you, your reprobate. Oh, for we that are in this tabernacle would be groaned, being burdened, not so that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. Again, we could and we shall be unclothed in the sense that we shall take off this body of flesh and bones, and we shall go in the grave while we our spirits go to be with God, our souls go to be with God. We shall put off this physical body. We shall be unclothed in death. That's clear. It's appointed to man once to die. That is the judgment. Now, the only way anybody's going to escape that is if they're in Christ Jesus and they're alive on this earth when the trumpet sounds. But Paul's saying here, not that we would be unclothed, because ultimately our hope isn't in that we're unclothed. Our hope isn't in that we just take off this body of flesh. No, our hope is in the resurrection whereby we are clothed upon with that glorified body that comes from God, from God alone, that glorified body made without hands. That glorified body that is the product of God just saying, arise, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. There it is. Clear reference to the resurrection that comes to all who believe on Yeshua, Mashiach, Jesus the Christ, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Please turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This passage right here will settle. Make it very clear exactly what the Apostle Paul is making reference to there in 2 Corinthians 5, in reference to the blessed resurrection that comes to those who are made righteous in and by faith in Jesus Christ. We're told that God hath made him to be sin for us, speaking of Christ Jesus, who knew no sin, that we, you and I, dear listener, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, just shalt live by faith, for by grace you say through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here we are, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. The Apostle Paul writes under inspiration of God, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption." In the very verse before that, verse 49, he says, he writes under inspiration of God, "As we have borne the image of the earthly, in this earthly physical tabernacle called the physical body, tainted, corrupted by sin, so," Paul goes on, "we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." There it is. Bearing the image of the heavenly, being clothed upon with the image of the heavenly, the physical glorified body that comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do corruption, inherit in corruption. Here it is, verse 51. "Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Verse 52. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Wasn't long ago, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, was celebrated by the Jewish people. And here we have its ultimate fulfillment. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed." Verse 53 of 1 Corinthians 15. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption." There you are, brother, sister in Christ. There am I, as a child of God, being clothed upon with the incorruption of the glorified body. "For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Verse 4, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, that shall be brought to pass, the same that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Verse 5, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Verse 56, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." Verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." All right, now, believer, how are you and I supposed to live? How are you and I supposed to respond in light of this precious truth? Verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I want to go back now to verse 56. "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." Dear listener, be you Jew, be you Gentile, what is keeping you from enjoying the reality of God tabernacling among, even within your mortal body? What's preventing you from being able to look forward with hope to that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior? Adonai, Lord, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Mashiach. The answer is obvious. It's sin. It's sin that has you hopeless today before a holy God. But you need not be hopeless. We're told in Paul's letter to Timothy, "Therefore, we also labor and suffer reproach, because we trust that the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. For God so loved the world," we're told in St. John, "for God so loved the world," that includes you, dear listener, "that he gave his only begotten Son," speaking of Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, by the way, dear Jewish listener, God does have a son. It's even revealed in the second psalm, second telling of King David. God, the Lord, Adonai, says, "I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten." King David wrote that under the inspiration of God in the second psalm that many of you read on a daily basis. And it even says, "Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling," as you read down through that second psalm. And then he says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Now, King David would never, ever, dear Jewish listener, tell anyone to trust in someone and say that they would be blessed for trusting in them if that someone were not God. Hey, God is a triune being. Hence, he said, dear Jewish listener, hence he said, Gentile, when he created man in his image, "Let us make man in our image." Sin is the only thing that has you walk in hope before a holy God. Told Revelation 21, verse 8, "But the fearful Oh, you're fearful what man's going to think about you? If you believe all in the Lord Jesus Christ, Adonai, Yeshua, Mashiach? Take heed to the words of Adonai, Yeshua, Mashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The worst any sinner is ever going to do to me, the worst any sinner can ever do to you, dear listener, is kill your mortal body. There's one who's able to destroy both your soul and body in hell. And he's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Father has given all judgment unto the Son. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, thus saith the Lord Adonai. Who or what is your God today, dear listener? You can't be bowing down to Buddha. You can't be bowing down to your rabbi. You can't be bowing down to any of the gods of Hinduism. You can't be bowing down to the Pope. You can't be bowing down to the Queen of Heaven that you call Mary, Roman Catholic. You can't be bowing down to the image you see when you look in the mirror. That's worshiping and serving yourself. Loving yourself as the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. No, you can't be bowing down to the devil himself and expect God to tabernacle in your mortal body. If you're willing to repent, turn from your idolatries. And again, all idolaters should be part in the lake of fire. It's written Revelation 21:8. The fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, they're all liars from their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. One lie is all it takes to make you a liar. Jesus said, he that believeth not on him is condemned already. Sinner, you've earned nothing but a lake of fire. And if you keep trying to get to God through your good works, at the end, God says, he will declare of your all your so-called righteousness and your works. They shall not profit you. In the book of Isaiah, it's written, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity is like the wind, taking us away. It is written in Isaiah 64, verse 6. All but God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, you should be saved from wrath through him. You can be justified today by faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is given unto you from heaven. Call upon him. And he'll be faithful to save whosoever will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is written, thou shalt not kill. Have you ever had an abortion? Any of you listening to me? Perhaps you yourself worked in the abortion industry. You're a murderer. You've been a partaker in the shedding of innocent blood. And God hates you for that. You must come unto Jesus. Yes, God loved you enough to send his son for you. But you must come unto Jesus. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Thou shalt not kill. You say, I never murdered nobody. God says, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You want God? Tabernacle? Among you and in your mortal body? If you don't want that, it's only because your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Above all things, you can know it. But if you want that, if you want to desire that, how unthankful you would be to not desire your Creator and all his goodness abiding within you. If you want that, you must turn from your wicked ways, seeking the Lord where he may be found, calling upon him while he is near. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, ye heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You've ever engaged in lusted over pornography? You are an adulterer before a holy God. You're guilty and you'll be judged as such, except you repent and receive the blood kippur, the blood atonement provided for by the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Homosexual, sodomite. There's hope for you, but only through the Lord Jesus Christ. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's not a single sin that God Almighty cannot and will not set you free from if you're willing to come unto him by his Son, Jesus Christ, and him alone. For again, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing in the Holy Ghost. Thou shalt not steal. Thieves shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Disobedience to parents. And sin, dear listener, you know that there was once a time in your life when your mom, your dad, encouraged you to do that which was good for you. And you disobeyed, and you suffered because of it. Oh, I think we're told, James 2:10, whosoever keep the whole law and yet offended one point, he is guilty of all. So, you break one, God has to hold you accountable as though you broke them all. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it whole. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless of taking his name in vain. To use the name of God, to use the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, is a curse word. And use it flippantly and loosely when you're joking around with your friends. There's always you blaspheming the name of God. And God says you do that just one time, you'll be found guilty, 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 guilty. Oh, there is mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And again, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And the ass is basically a means of transportation. So have you ever coveted your neighbor's car? It's all covetousness. It's all sin. I trust you're saying by now, sir, what must I do to be saved? I say unto you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Adonai Yeshua Mashiach, and thou shalt be saved. And God shall tabernacle, even this, speaking of tabernacles, and forevermore, among and even in your mortal body, and at the last, when the dead in Christ rise, you shall be gathered with all who believe on Yeshua Mashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the clouds, to meet him in the air, and you shall be with him forevermore. May you be comforted with these words, dear listener. This has been Evangelist Timothy Gruber. This has been another edition of the Word of the King. Till next time, God bless you and yours. Hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber coming to you with another edition of the Word of the King. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 says, where the Word of the King is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what doest thou? Word of God declares in Peter's one epistle, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We have an incorruptible word of God in the King James authorized version. And it's by that pure, incorruptible word of God that men are born again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I pray, if that's not your state, not your condition today, dear listener, I pray that it would be before this broadcast, this edition of the Word of the King is over. Again, this edition of the Word of the King, this Sunday, I will be speaking yet once more on the Feast of Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, and how the Feast of Sukkot relates to Jew and Gentile alike when it comes to the Creator, the God of heaven and earth, dwelling, tabernacle, among and within, simple men made holy by the offering of his only begotten Son, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, once and for all. We are going to be again, talking about the Feast of Tabernacles and the subject of the tabernacle today, and how God tabernacled among and tabernacles to this day within simple men made holy by the blood, Kippur Atonement, provided for by Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. But I have a word of prayer now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, come before you, dear Lord God, and I beseech you once more, Lord God, as we're going to be looking here by your grace in Hebrews chapter 9. And the Brit Shah, Lord God, I pray. Those souls, dear God, who are listening, dear God, and have yet, dear God, to be a partaker of the Brit Hashah, the new covenant, dear God, whereby you promised to remember one's sins and iniquities no more, Lord God, that they would come to know the testator himself, Jesus, Yeshua, Christ, Mashiach. Be they Jew or Gentile listening to this broadcast, if they would come to know him, the testator of the new covenant today, that they would know the power of the blood of his testament, whereby he shed that blood as a Kippur, an atonement, the ultimate Passover, Pesach, for sin. Thank you, dear to God, that the blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, was shed for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins, and that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord God, I pray that as a result of this submission of the Word of the King, Lord God, not only with souls that have yet to be born again, that yet to repent towards you, the living God, through faith in Jesus Christ, would indeed do so. I pray, Father, you would draw, dear God, such repentance towards you and faith toward the Lord Jesus. And for those, dear God, who have already been born again, who have already repented, and their sins turned to Jesus Christ by faith, and know what it's like to have you, the living God, tabernacling, dwelling within them, Lord God, they would be all the more provoked to thankfulness and obedience, dear Lord God, and a life of holiness without which no man shall see you. As a result of this broadcast, be glorified now, Lord God. I pray these things, and I give thee thanks that your ear is nigh to the prayer of those made righteous. by faith in the living God. For it's in Jesus' name I pray and give thanks. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1, King James Bible, I read, then verily, truth, verily means truth, then verily, the first covenant, and also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary, covenant, agreement, verse 2 of Hebrews 9, for there was a tabernacle, dwelling place, made, the first wherein was a candlestick, and the table, and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. When I think of the candlestick, the north, reminded me of the light of Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ, the Mashiach, he came as that true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he said, he himself is the light of the world, and whosoever believeth in it shall not abide in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When I think of the table, the shewbread, I'm reminded of the Lord's table. The Last Supper, the communion, is it celebrated by believers, Jew and Gentile alike, here in this dispensation, this time in which we live. And then when I think of the sanctuary, the dwelling place, again, the tabernacle. Verse 3 of Hebrews 9, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called holiest of all. When I think of the second veil, covering, reminded of how the physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ, Adonai, Yeshua Mashiach, is spoken of as a type of veil. You see, his body was a veil, concealing the fullness, the glory of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Hence, in the message that was just proclaimed this past Friday on the Word of the King, it was mentioned, it was, we were reminded of how Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, was the Godhead walking in the midst of sinful man, performing miracles, dying the death of the cross for our sins, rising from the dead the third day, because it was not possible that he should be holding of death. So remember, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that veil is a type of picture of the very physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ, concealing the very fullness of the Godhead and all of his glory within. After the second veil of the tabernacle, which is called holiest of all, again, the holiest of all, the very presence of the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, the great I am, Jehovah, Yahweh God. Verse 4, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold. Where was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded from the tables of the covenant? Be reminded, dear listener, the Ark of the Covenant, to touch that is a very, very deadly, deadly thing. I'm reminded of one gentleman, one soul there in the Old Testament. He was presumptuous enough to touch the Ark of the Covenant, all because that Ark had been shaken a little bit, as though God was not big enough to uphold the Ark of the Covenant himself. Hey, don't underestimate the Almighty, dear friend. Don't underestimate the Almighty. When he says don't touch something, he means don't touch something. And that soul back there in the Old Testament, in the days of the prophets, he found out all about that. Now think about the manna that was in the golden pot. You can't help but be reminded of the spiritual manna, the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, when there's Aaron's rod that budded, the tables of the covenant, the very rod with which God split the Red Sea, the very rod with which Aaron himself performed miracles by the power of God in the presence of Pharaoh and the magicians, and the tables of the covenant, talking about the Ten Commandments, the thou shalt and the thou shalt not, the thunder from Sinai. Well, quickly, turn over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them. Verse 2. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. And keep reading down here. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. The water is beneath the earth there. Verse 9, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless of taking his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor anything, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. And remember that thou wast servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, the day that the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, nor his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. He wrote them in 2 tables of stone and delivered them unto me. So there we have the tables of the covenant, as referred to in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. Verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 9. And over cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Verse 8, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. Verse 10 of Hebrews 9, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances, imposed on them until the time of reformation. Now, go back to verse 6 here in Hebrews 9. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. These priests that are referred to here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6, from the days of the old economy, these priests were a picture or a foreshadow of you and I as believers in Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach. Verse 7 talks about how the second went, the high priest alone, into the second went the high priest alone once every year. The high priest was a picture or a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, one God and one mediator between God and man, according to 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. Turn over quickly, if you have your King James Bible handy, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verses 9 and 10. Apostle Peter writes under inspiration of God, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now obtained mercy. So there we see the priesthood of believers, as it's been commonly referred to, spoken of in the scriptures. Whoever said you had to take a vow of celibacy to be a priest unto God, Roman Catholic, according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, which should alone be your authority and my authority in spiritual matters. Every believer in Jesus Christ, celibate or not, is a priest unto God, part of a royal priesthood. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 puts it like this. Revelation 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, there's the blood of the Kippur, the blood of the atonement, verse 6 of Revelation 1, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So celibate or not, if you're trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ alone as your atonement, your payment for sin, to cleanse you from all sin, you are a priest unto God. And Jesus Christ, again, the high priest went into that place once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. That high priest there is a picture or foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was cut off, but not for himself. The transgressions of my people being stricken, it is written in the prophet Isaiah. Verse 8, the Holy Ghost is signifying that the way of the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. And it was not yet made manifest because Yeshua, Mashiach, Jesus the Christ, as God manifest in the flesh, was not yet manifest in the flesh. But he, God, having been made manifest in the flesh, according to the great mystery of godliness, the way has been manifest, sinner friend, through Jesus Christ, as God manifests in the flesh, him alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. He is the straight and narrow way. And indeed, many there be which go the way of destruction. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. And indeed, few there be that find it. Verse 9, Hebrews chapter 9, which was a figure for the time and present, which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. Again, we just looked at Peter's epistle there about how we as a royal priesthood are meant to offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. So there again, we see the picture there of the priest offering up them sacrifices and them gifts as a picture, a type of the spiritual sacrifices that we offer up as a royal priesthood, as believers in Jesus Christ, the high priest, the great high priest. After the order of Melchizedek, we're told, Ruth 10 of Hebrews 9, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Please turn over to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. For in him, speaking of Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. These three are one, 1 John 5, 7. And again, anybody who talks down on the Godhead, commonly known as the Trinity, according to God, he's Antichrist. And you ought not follow that individual in what they are saying, because they are being inspired of the Father of lies when they speak down on the Godhead. Verse 10 of Colossians chapter 2. And you are complete in him. Again, you are complete in him, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11. Him also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Again, that spiritual circumcision of the heart. Remember how back there in the days of Jeremiah, God rebuked the children of Israel because they were uncircumcised in heart, though circumcised in flesh. But here we got the circumcision made without hands, the circumcision, the spiritual, that is inward. And be you Jew, be you Gentile, you need that circumcision that is performed without hands by the Almighty God of heaven and earth. And putting off the body, the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. There it is, the circumcision that comes from the Mashiach alone, Christ. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Again, Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For indeed, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20 declares, for there is not a just man upon the earth doeth good, and sinneth not. Verse 13, Colossians chapter 2, you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with them, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14 of Colossians 2, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15, Praise be to God, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shoe of them openly, triumphing over them in it. How's that hymn go? Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcometh the world. Thanks be to God, the total of 1 Corinthians 15, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, our Lord. So we see that these ordinances that are spoken of in Hebrews chapter 9 is being enforced until the time of Reformation. That time of Reformation is spoken of, referring to when the new covenant, the Brit Hadashah, spoken of, prophesied of by the prophet Jeremiah, out of the year of Yahweh, in Jeremiah 31, it is written. Let's turn over there, Jeremiah 31. And again, what is the purpose of all this? The purpose of all this is God in his love willing the tabernacle. Again, we're talking about the feast of Jews celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, and the whole purpose of the Feast of Tabernacles and what it was really all about spiritually. It was all about God loving his creation, wanting to dwell, tabernacle, among, within them. That doesn't get you fired up and make you want to shout hallelujah thinking about that. Dear listener, you got heart problems. You got heart problems. Your heart's right with God. That makes you want to shout. It makes you want to shout. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Jeremiah 31. Time of the Reformation had to do with God putting it into force by the death of the testator, the Lord Adonai, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach. This covenant spoken of, prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. It is written, Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Through 37, I'm going to read, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant, Brit Hadashah in Hebrew, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Oh, I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law on their inward parts. Lay it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. Those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord. Then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath. I will also cast off all the seed of Israel. For all that they have done, saith the Lord. Excuse me. So right there it is, dear listener. Right there it is. The very new covenant, the Brit Hadashah, that God would enforce at that time of Reformation. Turn back over. Again, Hebrews chapter 9. Continuing on here. Jump down here a little bit. We're going to continue on here. Verse 15. Even chapter 9. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, one mediator between God and men, is God manifest in the flesh, according to 1 Timothy 2:5. But by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I told in Peter's one epistle that we have an inheritance in the heavens, that faith not away. Praise God. Verse 16 of Hebrews 9. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Again, Christ, Mashiach, crucified for the sins of mankind. Verse 17, for a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So yes, Christ Jesus, Mashiach, he had to die. He laid his life down willingly. Because as we see here, read down, when Moses, actually verse 18, whereupon is the first testament was dedicated without blood, verse 19, when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people. We're told in Hebrews 10, verse 4, for it is not possible the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Verse 20 of Hebrews 9, Moses, speaking of Moses, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Verse 21, moreover, he sprinkled the blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Verse 22, and almost all things by the law purged with blood, and out shedding the blood is no remission, no forgiveness. So again, we're told that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. So therefore, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness. Christ, Mashiach, Yeshua, Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, he had to shed his blood. Like this, the old covenant, temporary finite sacrifices, how about finite goats and lambs, etc. Finite sacrifice, temporary sacrifice, temporary forgiveness. That's the remembrance of sins every year. But when you got the eternal God coming down, all the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, abiding, tabernacling within his body of flesh, as God manifests in the flesh. Being sacrificed as the eternal Lamb. Now we have eternal sacrifice, eternal forgiveness. No more need for sacrifice. Dear Jewish listener, that's why God allowed our temple to be destroyed around 69-70 AD. That's why he allowed the genealogy of the priests to be scattered. There could be no priesthood, no temple, no sacrifices according to the law of Moses. It was impossible. God is good, dear listener. He did not leave his chosen people, the Jewish people, without a sacrifice for almost the last 2,000 years. No. Yeshua HaMashiach. He just said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You best believe he is the Christ. You must believe he was God, manifest in the flesh, the great I am. Or else you will die in your sins. God has no respect for persons. Continuing on. Verse 23 of Hebrews 9. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves are better sacrifices than these. Verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25, nor yet he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Now listen to this. You Roman Catholics that believe in something called the Mass and the superstition of transubstantiation, it's a lie. We're told here, contrary to the teaching of transubstantiation in the Roman Catholic Mass, it says Christ is offered many times. No. Hebrews 9:25 says, nor yet he, speaking of Christ, Jesus, should offer himself often. If the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, verse 26, then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, at the end of the world, having appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There's no purgatory after death, there's judgment. Verse 28, so Christ, Shiach, was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. All right, Roman Catholic, repent of your traditions of men. No longer partake in that blasphemy called the Mass. It's a lie of the devil. I'm convinced that if there's one book in all the Bible that the Roman Catholic priests and cardinals and popes can't stand above any other, it's the book of Hebrews. It's the book of Hebrews. Dear listener, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, verse 12 declares, this man, speaking of Jesus, Yeshua Mashiach, as God manifest in the flesh, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of God, verse 13, from henceforth expected to his enemies be made his footstool. And by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, declared holy, set apart as being holy, through the Holy One, his shed blood, his decor, his atonement, for the holy purpose of God Almighty. St. John, chapter 1, verse 11 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12, but to as many as received him, then gave he power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Cease from your own works, sinner. Trust in Jesus Christ, him alone. Call upon him today, and repentance toward God through faith in him alone. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber with another edition of the Word of the King saying, God bless you and yours. Hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber coming to you with another edition of The Word of the King. I will, by the grace of God, be in the Queens, New York City area. And it is officially that time of the year when the Jewish people celebrate their holy day known as Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement. And we're going to talk some more about the blood during this broadcast here on the Word of the King. And I would just like to mention Ecclesiastes 8, verse 4, where the Word of the King is, there is power who may say unto him, what doest thou? And bring the souls up here, Jew and Gentile alike, to repent towards God through faith, towards our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, who gave himself a ransom for all, payment for Jew and Gentile alike, whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Before I get into the topic today here on the Word of the King, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we have, dear God, come full circle once again to another Yom Kippur, another Day of Atonement, celebrated with the Jewish people, I'm reminded, dear God, of how the blood makes an atonement for the soul. And, Lord God, I pray for souls listening today, dear God. For those that have yet to receive the atonement, dear God, provided for by your only begotten Son, the Messiah of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, but today would be the day, dear God, whereby they come to know the payment. And they receive that payment, dear God, as their own, Lord God, so that they, dear God, would be washed, white as the snow, cleansed of all sins through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua HaMashiach. And, Lord God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I Am you are, I pray your spirit would go forth, dear God, dealing with souls, dear God, in this edition of the Word of the King. And sir, they are standing before you as transgressors of your holy law, your Torah, it said in Hebrew. And Lord God, I pray, dear God, that through the proclamation of your holiness, you would take your law and use it as a schoolmaster to draw souls to Messiah, Jesus, and the atonement that has been provided through his blood shed upon the cross of Calvary, and his resurrection from the dead for our justification. And I thank you, Father, that he is seated at your right hand, and as I'm reminded of the promise in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, and come unto you the living God by him. May souls come unto you the living God by Jesus Christ our Lord, even as a result of this broadcast today. And for those who are saved, dear God, and listening, Lord God, may they, as a result of this broadcast, be provoked to all the more go forth in all manner of holiness and godliness as they, dear God, find themselves all the more thankful at the remembrance once more of what a great sacrifice was made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name I pray and give thanks. Amen. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. I read here in the King James Bible, concerning this matter of atonement, payment, and the blood. In verse 10 of Leviticus 17, I will start. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn among you, eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. Verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Verse 12. And for I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. Verse 13. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust. Verse 14, it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Now, when we consider this, God said, in verse 14, speaking of the blood, is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it should be cut off. This is another reason why we know of a certainty that when Jesus said what he said in St. John chapter 6, Jesus said this in St. John 6, there at the Passover prior to his being nailed to the cross as our ultimate Passover lamb, there at the Last Supper, he said this, verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 55, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now we know with certainty that when Jesus said this, he was not telling his followers to literally drink his literal blood, like the Roman Catholic cult teaches with her tradition of man known as the Mass, the transubstantiation. No. Jesus would never encourage his followers to literally drink his blood when, as the God of Moses, he condemned it. Here in Leviticus 17, verse 14, again it is written, it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And again, Jesus said in the context there, St. John 6, 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So again, Jesus in St. John 6, in the context of speaking of men eating his flesh and drinking his blood, he was speaking spiritually, symbolically, not literally Roman Catholic. But again, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. God, in the context of the Exodus coming out there of Egypt, he made it very clear the priority of the blood on the doorpost. He made it very clear. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It reminds me of the hymn. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Does God see the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon you, when he looks down on you? Are you trusting in the blood of the Messiah, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your atonement for sin? We're told in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified. That means stand before God just as if I never sinned. Here in Exodus chapter 12, we read the Passover being instituted, starting in verse 12. The Lord says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses which ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And so, we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jew and Gentile alike, in this time, this dispensation, we have our remembrance of the Passover, obviously the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that ordinance known as communion or the Lord's Supper. And we're reminded of how God and his love bestowed upon us. He sees the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon each one of us as believers. We as believers, having received by faith the atonement, which was provided through Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross. We're told there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good, that sinneth not. And so, sin demands payment. We're told in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We're told in the letter 1 John, John, written under inspiration of God, he writes, but if we are in the light as he, God, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The sacrifice of Messiah was prophesied, laid forth in the book of Daniel. Chapter 9, it is written, verses 25, 27. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, talking about in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, unto the Messiah the Prince, speaking of Jesus, Yeshua, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And yes, those are the troublous times when those Jews, those children of Israel and Judah came out of Babylon and Syria, respectively. Verse 26 of Daniel 9, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come to destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and at the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now look at that. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. We're told in St. John chapter 1, verse 12, to as many as received him, and gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And in verse 11, St. John 1, it is written, speaking of Jesus, the Messiah, coming to the Jewish people, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And then after 62 weeks, the Messiah was cut off out of the land of the living, according to the prophet Isaiah, it's written in Isaiah 53. But not for himself. Isaiah makes it very clear. For the transgression of his people, he, Messiah, Yeshua, was stricken. Messiah Jesus stricken for the transgression of his people. We're told in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we that sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Praise be to God, the same Lord. Overall, it's rich unto all that call upon him, both Jew and Gentile. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Messiah, shall not be condemned, shall not be ashamed, we're told. It says in Daniel 9:26, and the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That is speaking of the Roman armies, that prince, Titus, his Roman armies, sacking Jerusalem around 69, 70 AD, it's estimated. And the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Desolations, scatterings, there's the scattering of the Jewish people. Again, around 69, 70 AD, in connection with the destruction of Jerusalem, at the hands of the Roman armies. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. But for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined, shall be poured out upon the desolate, the scattered. So, let's look at the Torah, it's called in Hebrew. Let's consider the law, the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, the Christ, put it this way. He said the first and greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting to make me the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Again, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Peter declared in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you were looking any God other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he came down and humbled himself as a servant in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord, if you're looking at any other God besides him, then the one you call God is not God. And you are condemned as an idolater before God. And all idolaters, we're told in Revelation 21:8, said their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. The idolater shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Behold, you were shapen in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. But I consider, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You may not be bowed down to a statue of Buddha or a statue of Mary. And by the way, you ought not be bowed down to statues of Jesus either. We worship God in spirit and in truth. We walk by faith, not by sight. But again, you may not be bowed down to statues of Buddha, Mary, or any of the gods of the Hindu world, or any other so-called God that the devil has provided simple man with. How many of you listening bow down to the image that you see when you look in the mirror every day? You're guilty of worshiping and serving yourself as the creature more than the creator, God who is blessed forever. You're just as much an idolater. You're just as much an image worshiper. You best receive Jesus Christ, fullness of the Godhead bodily. And receiving him, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, receive the fullness of the Father, the fullness of the Son, and the fullness of the Holy Ghost. We're told that these three are one. In the book of 1 John, and again, the book of Romans, it is written, speaking of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but with strong faith, giving glory to God. May you be strong in faith, listener, giving glory to God. And like Abraham, may you be fully persuaded that what he had promised, he, God, was able also to perform. Verse 22 of Romans 4. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And you have the righteousness of God imputed to you, dear listener, in and by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. We're told in Romans 4:23, now it was written, not for his sake alone, again, speaking of Abraham, that it was imputed to him, verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And then you jump down to Romans 5, verse 10 and 11. If, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, Jesus, much more than being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received the atonement. Can you say, you're listening, that you joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ as one who has indeed received the atonement, the payment provided for by him, his shed blood? We're told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 22. And we know that almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. No remission, no forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, of the Spirit of our God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. We're told in the book of James, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. We're told that adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge in the book of Hebrews. Marriage is spoken of as being honorable in all. And again, for you effeminate, for you abusers of yourself of mankind, sodomite, homosexual, in the beginning God made Adam and Eve. He did not make Adam and Steve. He did not make Molly and Eve. I tell you, names, if you repent, you shall all likewise perish, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, set forth for an example, something that vengeance of eternal fire. We're told in Peter's one epistle, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. We're told righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And sin is indeed a reproach to the United States of America before a holy God. We're told the wicked should be turned into hell, and all the nations forget God in America. No exception to that law. Thou shalt not kill. Have you ever had an abortion, dear listener? At your local Planned Parenthood or other butcher mill, they call an abortion clinic. Abortion is murder. God hates the hands of them that shed innocent blood. You have been a partaker in murder. You who have had an abortion, listening to this. You need the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to cleanse you from all sin. And even as you call upon him to wash you from all your sins and make you whiter than snow, your very body, dear listener, will become the temple of God, the Holy Ghost. You will have God dwelling in you. You will have life in you more abundantly here and now, and that eternal, and that which is to come. And this I say, brother, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do corruption inherit incorruption. Oh, praise be to God. Are you ready for this? Dear listener, it's coming. Verse 51, behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then it should be brought to pass. The saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Can you say, dear listener, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? If you have Jesus Christ, his spirit, abiding inside of you, you can say that, dear listener. If you can't say that, may you seek the Lord while he may be found. May you call upon him while he is near. We're told, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You profess to be a Christian, yet you're not reading your Bible. You have no desire to read your Bible. You're not praying. You have really no desire to pray. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You call yourself a Christian, but you have no desire to do the will of God? You're deceiving yourself as one deceived by the father of lies, who is the devil, Satan. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Use the name of Jesus Christ. Use the name of God loosely. It's a cuss word. or even to sing it Sunday morning in your in a song, your hymn or during your worship, yet have your mind on the football game, what you're going to have for lunch. There's always you use the name of God loosely in a way that is empty. It's blasphemy. And all blasphemers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, according to Revelation 21:8. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Again, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Thou shalt not steal. You take anything that does not belong to you, the value is totally irrelevant. You take something that does not belong to you without permission, it's stealing, sin. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Again, all liars shall bear part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. 7 days is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Point, make time for God. He's worthy of your submission, listener, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him alone to deliver you from the power and the wages of sin, which is death, and to be your personal Lord and Savior, to walk with, to talk with daily, desiring to be like him, conformed to his image, to have the meekness that he has, to have the humility that he has, because you will certainly never be God as he is God. Beware of the Mormons. They're liars. They're their father, the devil. Oh, but you are going to be conformed to his image, Christian. And all who believe on his name. We're told in Galatians 3:10, for as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone, continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Oh, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I trust by now, dear listener, you're saying, sir, what was to do to be saved? Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For it is written, in whom, speaking of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Revelation chapter 1. And we will now conclude with the word of the King with this verse. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loveth us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This has been the word of the King. Until next week, this is Evangelist Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours. Hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber coming to you yet again with another edition of the Word of the King. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 says, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who may say unto him, what doest thou? Today on the Word of the King, we are going to be having yet another message concerning the blood, the atoning blood that has been provided for us as sinners in the person of Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, Mashiach. We're told in the book of 1 John, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And Jesus made it very clear in St. John 10 when he said, I and my Father are one. For the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby you would be edified and exhorted as believers to go forth all the more thankful for the great atonement that's been provided for you in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're listening and you're not a believer, may you please continue. Don't change that channel. Continue to listen. And I will point you, by the grace of God, to the ultimate atonement that has been provided for us sinners in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his life poured out at that place called Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull. I would now have a word of the King. I would now have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, I come to you, and I ask you, Lord God, to please be glorified in this message, Lord God, as another Yom Kippur Shabbat has concluded by now. Lord, we pray, dear God, that more of the Jewish people, dear God, would come, and that they would be willing to be gathered of Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, even as Jesus said that he was willing to gather them as a hen doth gather her chickens. And yet they would not in his day. How many of the Jewish people in this day, dear God, they still will not be gathered by their Messiah, Yeshua? We give you thanks, dear God, that there is coming a day when the Jewish people as a nation will be gathered, where they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And in the meantime, dear God, help us as believers to continually, every day, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to look upon him whom we, by our sins, have pierced. And for those that are listening and do not yet know the salvation of you, the Lord, through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, may they, as a result of this program, by faith, look unto Jesus. May they look unto him whom their sins and their iniquities have pierced. And may they mourn, declaring their iniquity, being truly sorry for it, forsake their own way, and to trust in you, Lord, and you alone, which in Jesus' name I pray and give thanks. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. We read, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul, verse 12. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. Verse 13. Whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or the stranger that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. Verse 14. For it is the life of all flesh, and the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. So, we see the instituting here of the Day of Atonement in the book of Leviticus. And again, I would remind you, something good to point out to your Jewish friends, dear listener, and if you happen to be Jewish listening to this, something that I would point out to you, the blood on the doorpost. Think about how God told Moshe, and our fathers, I say our fathers because I myself am Jewish, think about how God told Moshe and our fathers there, the Exodus from Egypt, to put the blood on the doorpost, to spare the firstborn from the death angel. Think about how God told them to put that blood on there. It forms a cross. Because the Lamb of God, God manifest in the flesh, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, shed his blood as the ultimate Kippur, the ultimate atonement. It is our ultimate Passover, Pesach. For sin, he shed his blood in the form of a cross. Some excellent symbolic statement being made there. God was saying that he was going to come down as a lamb, even as that lamb there in the book of Exodus, as it's written, its blood was placed upon those doors in the form of a cross. God was saying he was going to provide himself a lamb, just like our father Abraham said to Isaac, for a burnt offering. He was going to do so in the form of a cross. His blood, his life, was going to be poured out. Now, like we said in the last edition of the Word of the King this past Friday, the fact that the consuming of literal blood is forbidden here in Leviticus 17 in the context which we just read, again, verse 14 of Leviticus 17, for it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it should be cut off. This is one more reason, as we stated in the last edition of the Word of the King this past Friday, that we know for a fact that when Jesus Christ said this in St. John 6, verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. When Jesus said that, we know for a fact that he was not encouraging his followers to drink his blood literally, as taught in that tradition of man, known as the Roman Catholic Mass and Transubstantiation, no. He would not encourage his followers to do such a thing when he is the God of Moses in the very law of Moses in the book of Leviticus, forbid it. And even the Apostle Paul, it's written in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul and the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ made it very, very clear that it was a good thing to abstain from fornication and from drinking of blood, among other things. So, literal blood was not supposed to be drank back in the days of Moses. Literal blood is not supposed to be consumed now in this New Testament dispensation. And it never was supposed to be consumed. So, if you're listening to your Roman Catholic, I beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God and let go of your vain traditions of men. We're told in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Verse 6, he gave himself a ransom, a payment for all that could testify in due time. Turn over to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. Again, considering at the conclusion of another Yom Kippur, another Day of Atonement, that Jewish high holy day. Verse 11 of Hebrews 9. But Christ being come a high priest, good things become. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 13, for the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, satisfied, purified of the flesh. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Verse 15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Verse 16, for where a testament is, there must also necessity be the death of the testator. And even so, I'm reminded of how the Lord Jesus Christ declared, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. We're told in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there's no remission. And we look up just a couple of verses. Verse 18, whereupon either the first testament, talking of the law of Moses, whereupon either the first testament was dedicated without blood, verse 19, when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled with the book. Both the book and all the people, saying, verse 20, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Verse 21, moreover he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. So certainly, the blood was given a great preeminence because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness. And even as Christ Jesus, as head of the church, again, Christ Jesus, according to the book of Colossians, is the head of the church, not the Pope, Roman Catholic. Again, may you depart, may you come out from the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. May you touch no longer the unclean thing. But Jesus Christ is the head of the church, even as he is worthy of all preeminence. So, the blood which he shed is to be given preeminence in the preaching of the gospel, because ultimately, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness. And we know that Christ Jesus, our Lord, hath sanctified us through the offering of his body once for all, according to Hebrews 10, verse 10, as it is written, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, verse 11. And every priest gives daily administering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Verse 12, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, verse 13, from henceforth expected to his enemies be made his footstool, verse 14, for by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Again, we see the book of Hebrews exposing over and over the falsehood again of the Roman Catholic Mass and the whole tradition of man that says Christ is offered sacrificially over and over again every time the priest performs transubstantiation and supposedly calls Christ down from out of heaven. It causes Christ to appear before man once more in the form of what they call the Eucharist. Again, it is written in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, Christ does not enter into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Verse 26, but then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It's very clear. It's very clear, dear listener. Christ was offered once. He appeared once in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Have you received, dear listener, be you Jew, be you Gentile, have you received the atonement, the payment provided for you by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, Messiah, once and for all? If not, I beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And may you know salvation, which is of the Lord. And may you know what it means to become an ambassador for Jesus Christ, testifying of his goodness, his grace. According to Titus 3:5, we're told, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Remember, the law is a schoolmaster. The purpose of the law was to teach us as a schoolmaster our need for the atonement, for the payment for sin that could only at the last be provided for by sinless sacrifice of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in the book of 1 Peter, turn over to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, read verse 2 verses here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Notice, listener, especially if you're Roman Catholic, Peter's confession, he didn't say anything about being a pope. And you can't claim apostolic succession just because he called himself an apostle, because Paul himself was an apostle. John himself was an apostle. James himself was an apostle. There were other apostles besides Peter. So him calling himself an apostle of Jesus Christ is by no means him confessing that he was a pope. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Peter doesn't say anything about being a vicar of Christ, like the modern Pope Francis or any other pope would have claimed. No. In verse 2, he says, he writes, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. There it is, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You do need to be sprinkled, dear listener, but it's not with water. It comes from a spigot, from a well, or any other source whereby physical water may flow. No, you need to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Read down verse 17. Peter writes under inspiration of God, and if you call the Father, he without respect of persons, judging according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Verse 18, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, there it is, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world but was manifest in these last times for you. Verse 21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Romans 10:9, we're told that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Adonai Yeshua, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Remember, wherefore is by one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned. Turn over to Galatians, chapter 5. Turn over to Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we read of the works of the flesh. Remember, the flesh is a reference to the sinful, adamic nature that every one of us inherited from Adam. And the way you know that you have a sinful nature that you inherited from Adam, the way you know, dear listener, that you Jew or Gentile, that you were shaped in iniquity and you were conceived in sin, is because your mom, your dad, didn't have to teach you how to do wrong. No. They had to teach you how to do right. They didn't have to teach you how to do wrong because the desire for wrong, the desire for sin was already implanted within you. The Bible calls the source of that the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, lawlessness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, verse 21, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you, the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, before I come back here, by the grace of God, and dwell on this matter of the works of the flesh some more, turn to the book of Hebrews one more time, chapter 10. I want to just elaborate or comment one more time here concerning the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, as established in the Torah, as it's called in Hebrew, the law. Verse 10, we read, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. But back to verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But on those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Hence, verse 5, we're told, wherefore when he's speaking of Jesus, as God manifest in the flesh, cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. Verse 6, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, do thy will, O God. And again, when you're in Christ Jesus, when you're born again, washed in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, as a child of God, you're truly one of his. You will, like Jesus, desire to do the will of God. If you don't desire to do the will of God, and you call yourself a Christian, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Know ye not, except Jesus Christ be in you, you're reprobates? Reprobate. Worthless, of no use for righteousness before God. Now, because Jesus, the Messiah, has offered his body as a sacrifice for sins once for all, we have now have him as our high priest. We no longer have any dealings with earthly priests. Be they Jewish, be they Roman Catholic, we have no dealings any longer with earthly priests. For again, 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, as a result, we have covenant. Thanks to this eternal offering by the eternal God, come down as a man and get fully God, we have a new covenant, whereby our sins are eternally forgiven, no longer to be remembered against us. It is written in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Actually, start in verse 15. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also was a witness to us, for after that he said before, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. So again, the Holy One of Israel, the God of Israel, allowed, Jewish listener, our temple to be destroyed in 69, 70, AD. The genealogies of the priesthood to be totally trashed, so to speak. Can't find them. Because there's no more need for an earthly temple. There's no more need for an earthly priesthood. Jesus Christ is now our high priest. Your body is now to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the living God. But you must repent and believe on Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in him alone, trusting no longer in your own righteousness, but your own filthy rags. And your sins and iniquities will be remembered against you no more. That is good news. Again, concluding now, winding down on the word of the King, turn back to Galatians chapter 5. And we discussed the works of the flesh here. First one, adultery. Jesus said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, ye shall not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. He went on to say, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Again, dear listener, you look with lust in your heart towards an individual of the opposite sex. That is equal to adultery before a holy God. And you will answer for that adultery. Fornication. Again, fornication, sex, outside of marriage. That just doesn't include, not only does it include fornication between man and woman, but also sexual acts between man and man, woman and woman, sodomy, fornication, homosexuality is included in that. Hence it is written, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Uncleanness. That's a broad term there to be defined, to be described by many acts. I can't help but think of the way the sodomites, the homosexuals, have their golden showers, as they call it, where they piss and they urinate all over one another. Talk about uncleanness. There's one example for you. Lasciviousness, lawlessness. Again, many acts described by that. Really, any rebellion against the law of God, any willful continuing, and that which you know is sin against God is lasciviousness, idolatry, worshiping of false gods. Covetousness is defined as idolatry. In Paul's one letter to the church in Ephesus, said, for ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Witchcraft, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, we're told. Hatred, variance. Variance, always trying to be at odds with people for no cause, always looking to just cause trouble without a cause. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders. You say, well, I never murdered nobody. We're told envies is the rottenness of the bones. Unholy jealousy, all because your neighbor has something you don't, you nevertheless covet in your heart. Murders. What if God says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him? Have you conducted an abortion, or have you given your baby over to the abortionist, dear listener? You have partaken in murder. The shedding of innocent blood, God hates drunkenness. The drunkard shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelings. Striking one another. Physically attacking one another. Mouse. Desire to harm your neighbor. And such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Remember, sin is the transgression of the law. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Honor thy father and thy mother, that days may be long upon the Lamb which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Whosoever keeps the whole law and yet offended one point, he is guilty of all. Then there's blasphemy, taking God's name in vain. Indeed, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good, and sinneth not. But praise be to God, Christ, Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, was made a curse. He was made sin, so that you, dear listener, might be made the righteousness of God in him. And yet all the while, Jesus made sin, yet without sin. Indeed, without controversy, great is the mystery. God was manifest in the flesh. And you believe on him? Dear listener, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, to those who rejected him in his day. He will not come unto me that you might have life. All dear listener, come unto Jesus, and you will have life today. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Call upon him now, and God Almighty will be faithful to manifest himself inside your mortal body. In Jesus' name, I praise his name. This has been the Word of the King. Till next week, God bless you and yours.
And with that, what we're going to do is also let you know here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that even though it may be cheap for you to listen to, free for you to listen to the Word of the King, remember, it's not cheap for us, and we would appreciate a donation from you if you'd like to help us keep on the air. And there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First, if you're a PayPal user, you go to PayPal, enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. For you Cash App users, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Finally, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com, and in your subject line, put donation information requested. In the body of your email, just explain you're wishing to send a check or money order and need the pay to and snail mail information as to where to send your check or money order. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. As well, if you wish to get a copy of this program and any other program here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you could go on your smartphone or tablet and go to the podcast section, type in Six Eyes Radio, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. Once you hit enter on that, when we pop up, you just go ahead, click subscribe, and you'll have us on demand, being able to listen to the Word of the King even on a Saturday. As well, if you have an Apple or Android device, you will need to download first the iHeartRadio app. That's the iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded that, go to your iHeartRadio app, type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that and you click enter, when we pop up, you just click subscribe, and you'll have us on demand on your Android or Apple device. And finally, we're going to have Sister Ruth give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here tonight.
Well, Lord, we thank you. What's going on in Israel? Praise the Lord, and continue to help Tim as he ministers for you, and be with all the prayer requests that people have been feeling well, like me and Emily and several others, and so you know what you've got to do, Lord, and I know you'll take care of it. We just love and praise and bless your name. Amen.
Amen. And we'll catch you all tomorrow night for the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, only here at Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 p.m. God bless everybody, and see you tomorrow.